Blog Talk Radio.
Let me ask you something.
Seven.
When you watching the game,
sight.
What do you see?
Media.
Yo, it started with the dream, a ball in the hoop. In between the lines, divide the lies from the truth. Analytics say you gotta play to the stats, but a Mac never play Mac, so why listen to that? The fact is, numbers are just an illusion, cause they don't tell the whole story, just a conclusion. This is the show that puts all the numbers to rest, cause it's not all about the stats, it's about the eye test.
One, two, one, two. Welcome.
One, two. Oh, sorry. I'm out of rhythm. One, two,
out
one,
of rhythm.
Two.
You dropped the bounce pass. It's all to the good, man. You're now in tune to the iTest NBA show.
Where there's always a story behind the numbers.
Man, oh, man. It's so good to be back, man. So good to be back on the air with my brother, man.
Iso,
welcome back to the airwaves, man. You've been missed on this side of town. I know you just recently made your recap, you know, you just came back into therapy and was able to get that good therapy you need, everybody needs. But we're glad to have you on the iTest airwaves.
Oh, man, you don't know, man. It's so good to be back, you know what I'm saying? The camaraderie, you know, when you... Everybody talks about what's the best thing about winning a championship. It's the journey. And I miss the journey. I miss the camaraderie. I miss the fellas. You know, there's been plenty of basketball that's gone on. A lot of things to talk about, man. And I'm ready to get into it, brother. I'm ready to get into it.
Yeah, most definitely. Most definitely. So since you've been gone, you know, truth be told, we're stepping in your, and not necessarily in your absence, because we were running the three-man weave prior to, but you know, we were discussing the finals, you know, and that's really kind of where we left off, and our prediction for the playoffs and everything. And he's not on the airwaves right now, but I'll discuss it with him later. He doubted my pick for the Cavs meeting the Warriors once again in the finals. So I just need to make that clear. I'm gonna bring that up to him, you know, when we speak. But that was definitely officially on record, and he was shitting on it, man. He was like, nah, there's no way Bron is this and that. Bron has been playing all of these games. I'm like, yo, just cool down, bro. We're gonna see. You know, the NBA is all about entertainment. LeBron is an extremely special talent, and we didn't really have any questions about the Dubs at first until, you know, they ran into the Rockets. And that's something that we're going to discuss. But those final four teams, I brought that, all of that up to say that those final four teams look extremely different now, you know, today.
Definitely.
You know, and there's been so much going on with free agency and all of the other movements that have happened. And, you know, just glad to have you back, man, to get your feel on that, man. You know, we could start wherever you would like to start. Would you like to start in the East or the West?
Obviously, you got to start on the West. Obviously.
There you go. Where the champions reside, right? You got to respect the champions.
You got to start the West. Obviously, you know, the major talk has been that the King has moved to the West, you know? King has moved to the West. Went to the Lakers, and we thought that, you know, the Earth's core would shift, and it did shift. But then again, once again, the Warriors went, and they got Boogie Cousins. So, I mean, what can I say, man? The rich get richer, but just for LeBron to accept that challenge is, I got to give him respect on that. I gotta give him respect. He's like, yo, I'm going to, instead of going to the finals to face them, I'm going to try to run through them so that when I get to the finals, it's a better outcome. I can't knock the hustle.
Right. And, I mean, overall, I think it's a smart move because next year's free agency class opens up the doors to a lot more possibilities in L.A. and all over the league, but specifically for LeBron in L.A., what we're discussing now.
Right. Was I surprised? Yes, I was surprised that he moved to the Lakers. I mean, we understand it's a family decision, and, you know, he's setting himself up for his kids and also his businesses. But, I mean, realistically speaking, I thought that he would have stayed out in the East to at least test the waters. I would have tried to go to Boston Celtics. For real.
He's tested those waters. He's rode those waves. He's made it to the finals eight straight times, right? So of course you want to continue your success, but I think at this point it's not necessarily, it's somewhat of a challenge, but it's also setting himself up for the later chapter in his career. And if you look at the greats from all of the guys that we champion, from Isaiah, Magic, Mike, all of these guys, even Bird and these guys, they all parlay into some kind of management or executive role. And that's what he's looking to do on the court and definitely off the court going to L.A.
I mean, like I said, it's a power move for him to establish his mogul identity at the end of the day. But realistically speaking, though, you go to the one franchise. There's two franchises in the history of the league where the name in the front will always be bigger than the name in the back. And he's
100%. He's at one of them.
He's there. And not only is he at one of them, he's at the premier. He's at the premier because the other one is the Boston Celtics. But,
of course, but who has more chips? And you got to look at it. It's a close run. It's only one difference, but you got to respect that just as we respected the champs in the beginning of the show. And you suggested that he goes to Boston, and I wouldn't disagree. The only thing is there's so many political moves that have to be pulled behind the scenes in order to make that happen. And we've discussed numerous times over the text and other places that, you know, Kyrie's future in Boston isn't necessarily solidified. But Boston, if you look at that franchise, man, they're not loyal. And LeBron is going to bring his whole set of his camp. You know, he brings his own set of rules when he goes to any franchise. So I don't know if Boston was going to be able to do it. He's able to do bounce pass and no look with Magic much easier than he'd be able to do it with Danny Ainge.
Oh, no question. Because he was like, yo, before I sign this contract, make sure my boy Pope gets signed for $12 million.
I mean, that's power. We 50 just came back on. LeBron exhibited that all the time, man. All the time he shows that power. And he did it in Cleveland, and it's continuing in L.A.
But, I mean, the thing is, though, it's a good move. It's a good move for your twilight of your career. But, to me, there's no way a player of your stature goes to the Lakers for 4 years and don't win a championship and is a success. You can't. You just can't. This isn't the Wilt days. There's an established criteria. Just to put it in the parallels, as great a player as A-Rod was,
mm-hmm.
once he got to the Yankees, dog, we don't care about all that. Mm-hmm. We know you good, but you better win that chip. You better win that chip. You're not a Laker. You're not a true Laker until you win that chip. Straight.
And that's what they exhibited on the mural that was made in Los Angeles just recently. I definitely disagree with the king of, I don't know if you was throwing me the alley-oop, but I just caught it. I don't agree with the king of LA, right? But and the mural is a lot too, man. He's just getting there. You know, what they gonna do when he wins a chip? You know, it's like I respect it. I'm glad that he's in the purple and gold. I can't wait to get Truth Be Told on here because he's been talking. I want to see if he keeps that same energy, man. I want to hear that. But yeah, I'm glad that he's there. But it is a lot. I can't even front.
Here's the irony of that mural, right? They put the king of L.A. Then they destroyed it, LaFraud, 3-6, this and this and that. Then they put just the king. And when they fixed the mural, they put the king. And then they put L.A. separate. Like, no, bruh. No, bruh. Like I tell you, you're in the shadow of the Mamba right now. Believe it.
100%.
I don't know why you think you're going to the twilight of your career. This is not the twilight. You went from the frying pan to the fire. If you want a twilight, you should have stayed in Cleveland. Straight. You could lose.
Right.
When
has LeBron ever run away from that big stage? Now, we got finally. I must have spoke his name up. Because we got Truth Be Told on the line. Let me hear what's going on, man. Truth.
Yo, yo, yo.
What's going on, good brother?
What's good, Truth?
What's up, my brothers? What's good? What's good? Man, it's been a hell of a summer already.
Woo!
Yeah, we didn't even jump in the summer league. We just really discussing. I actually had to bring ISO up on our finals. Just remind him. of our finals prediction, you know what I mean? And just let them know that I have put the Cavs and the Warriors up there, and I was definitely you trying to shit on me, son. You was going against LeBron and the King. So it's good to have you on the mic, man. Good to hear what you got to say about that and other things NBA related.
Well, yeah, you know, I've been listening to y'all chop it up. The first thing is, ISO, when you sign with the Lakers, you know that you're coming to win championships. I mean, that's all the Lakers about. Like, Cat's been the last 5 years, they've been on me, riding me. Y'all ain't make the playoffs. Truth be told, we don't care to make the playoffs. We entered to win it. You know, we going after that chip. So, Bron knows that he's got to deliver a chip. And it's not like he's coming in his twilight. I don't know if he found vibranium, but last year he played the best year I seen him play. Matter of fact, you know, we were chopping it up at the end of the year. And me and Combs, we was like, yo, I think he done passed. You know, we actually went there, like, speaking blasphemy. Like, he actually passed the Black Mamba. And the reality is, man, yo, this cat is like nobody we seen. He in purple and gold now. I'm not one to give him the crown. He got to deliver. He's got to deliver, but he knows it. And the thing I respect is he signed for 4 years. He's not holding Magic hostage with the one-year nonsense that he did, you know what I'm saying, holding the Cavs the last 4 years. So he committed to L.A., whether or not it happens this year, the reality is you're not beating Golden State, no way. I don't care who it is. You're not beating Golden State this year. That's why we're not throwing everybody at the Spurs to get Kawhi, because if it ain't Kawhi, it's going to be somebody else next year, I'm telling you. Magic right. Got a plan. He got a plan B, a plan C, and a plan D. But when you got LeBron in the fold, I want to see this young talent play with him because he's going to elevate their games. He's going to make it easier for them. And I want to, I do want to see Ingram with him. Because I think we're going to see the best Ingram we could see or we have seen. And we know what Kuzma brings. So Magic got a plan, man. He's bringing Rondo in. That's going to be good for Lonzo. You know, he's going to push Lonzo. And I'm telling you, man, don't sleep on the Lakers. As constructed right now, don't sleep on them. I got them third in the West, and that's without adding that second superstar. And, you know, I mean, with the mural, yo, it was a beautiful piece of art. Me being an artist myself, I'm like, damn, they didn't have to you know, they didn't have to deface the artwork, because it was a hell of a art piece, to be honest. You know, but yeah, King of L.A. and all that, chill with all that. I don't know if you saw the one last week where someone, it was a Kobe mural, and somebody put a plastic, they put like a LeBron face over Kobe, and somebody took their shoe off and spent like 5 minutes knocking that off. I don't know if you saw that one on Twitter.
Nah.
I got to send y'all that one. But
yeah, I saw that one. But
you saw that one too?
Yeah, yeah. But this is what I'm saying. This is what I'm saying. Like, we were just speaking about it. LeBron, because, you know, obviously this is definitely a play on the business side as well, as what he can do for his company, everything in L.A. and all that. But the thing about this truth that's really – I hope he really understands, like, is that – see that name in the front? It's bigger than your name. It's bigger than your name. That is one of the few franchises that is bigger. So the expectation is as high or even higher than it was in Cleveland. Believe it or not.
Oh, it's high. It's high.
Right. It's definitely higher.
This is what
it's
I'm saying.
Higher.
So when you put out a mural and dudes is like king of L.A., they nah. You're not gonna. We don't forget. Laker fans don't forget their history. That's the difference between. That's one thing I give props to about Laker fans. They don't forget their history because they have a history of winning championships. So we're not gonna say to you, yo, dude, right now. All this Mike comparison, guess who you're getting compared to right now? You got to worry about Kobe Bryant. You got to worry about Kobe Bryant now.
And that's something that we talked about. That's something that we talked about. Fellas, before we jump into that, I have another caller on the line, man. I want to let them get in on the conversation. Last four digits, 2127. 2127, you on the line, man.
What's good, fellas?
Yeah,
gorgeous
is that
Jerry
Wonder
Jerry Wonder here.
Yeah. Jerry Wonder.
I got a few things to say. I'm on the street and I say, you know what, I gotta pull over and call. I got a few words to say. Do I sound clear?
Yeah, go ahead, brother.
Crystal.
All right, a few points. One, I think LeBron was in a bad situation. If he stayed in the East, that would mean he would lose to Kyrie, which makes him look really bad. His little brother beats him in a one-on-one basketball game. Then he goes to the West, which, you know, I guess it is the best move, but he goes to this big Laker team, and he cannot live up to that expectation. LeBron is not built for the West. He's not built for the West, and in the 4 years that they gave him, he will not win a championship. But I think it's better than staying in the East and losing to Kyrie 4 times.
So, Jerry, if he went to the Sixers, you think he would lose to Kyrie?
Yeah, I do. I do, because I don't think him and Simmons can play together.
But him and Embiid alone.
LeBron is only good. He's good with, like let's take Melo, for instance. Melo is great with all-stars. That's why he's Mr. Olympic. LeBron is good with him and role players. I don't know how good he's going to be with other superstars. I don't think that it's going to work for him. He's just not that type of player. People don't like to play with him.
I agree with you on that. That's why I'm saying I like him with this young core. Let's see what he do with these youngsters because, you know, you don't have that other big player like a Kyrie. And then the other thing we're seeing is the big players, they're not trying to sign with him. That's just reality. They all opted for other options.
That's true.
I think the key for LeBron is that Magic Johnson has stressed to him that you're gonna have to play off the ball. That's the key. Part of it has always been his Achilles heel. Unless, like, I think right now in L.A., he's going to have to go back to Miami LeBron. Not Cleveland LeBron, Miami LeBron, the one that's passing, cutting, hitting his shots. He does some facilitating, but he facilitates off receiving the ball, not necessarily bringing the ball up. More from, you know, work more off the block. He's going to have to be Miami LeBron, because if he's Cleveland,
think he's going to get?
Go ahead.
Do you think he's going to get past three West Coast teams in the playoffs?
Houston's
in
weaker.
In the next 4 years.
Houston's weaker.
Right. And Golden State could easily be weaker next year as well.
I mean,
yeah. LeBron has avoided the when the Clippers were good. He's avoided all of that. Now he has to play those same people.
I don't think he's
ready to beat three West Coast teams.
Listen, there's no... Honestly, I don't mean to cut you off, Truth, but there's not really three West Coast teams. It's one final. You have the Golden State Warriors, who's been to the finals an exuberant amount of time. So them playing with the young boys, and if they play a fast-paced game, they're going to get at those legs. Houston Rockets have gotten weaker defensively, losing Trevor Ariza and Bamute. So, and you can't really trust Chris Paul's hamstrings. Other than that, all you have to worry about is how is OKC Thunder? Will they have the shooting to advance? They'll have the defense, but will they have the 3-point shooting to advance? And how good is the Utah Jazz going to be? That's about it.
I have one more point to make. I think when we saw Michael Jordan, when we saw Kobe, everybody, when they did play them, they gave him their best. But something about LeBron not being, quote-unquote, that dude makes them bring out, like, just pure monsters. People play really, really well against LeBron because they don't fear him like they do with Michael Jordan and Kobe. So even a team like Milwaukee is dangerous to LeBron. Just off pure, I'm not scared of you, like a Kobe and Mike.
I think LeBron is going to bring a chip to L.A. either in that 4 years or when he gets that extension. As Truth spoke earlier, Magic is not playing. We already have examples and seen it in the bloodline already, and in the years that L.A. has hoisted the championship, that's what it's all about. And bringing the world's best player to the organization is only going to be able to shine a light on that even greater.
Can I ask you a question, Truth and Cove?
If the Lakers win a championship, will they win with LeBron being its best player?
Damn, that's a good question.
Because I don't doubt it.
It's possible, and here's the scenario. What if, say, Klay Thompson joined the Lakers next season? So it weakens Golden State, and the Lakers get that second star, and we see Kuzma and Ingram ascend, right?
Right.
Hey, yeah, LeBron could, in that scenario, he could beat Golden State, win the chip, and be the best player. Jerry, I hear you, man. For years, I was there, but I'm glad I came to this realization before he even signed with the Lakers. What LeBron showed, and I'm keeping it real, man. MVP, you know we talked about it. I'm not forgetting Dallas. I'm not forgetting, you know, the series when that rumor came out and he quit on the squad that Dan Gilbert called out. I'm not forgetting you know, everything else that we've ever said about Bron not having that killer instinct.
But what he did show is he still got game left in him. He gets in his 16th year. To me, he played his best ball that he's played. He could kill you in the post. He was willing to go in the paint. He's unstoppable, man. He's a machine. And
that's all I was saying.
I have one question. Do you think LeBron can change up his game like Barkley did? Like Barkley changed his game from being a high flyer, kind of a beast, to more of a finesse player. Do you think he can?
Okay.
If he can do that, then maybe.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Wait. That was blasphemy. Okay. Charles Barkley can't hold LeBron. He can't hold LeBron.
No, I'm talking about changing the game. I'm talking about changing up his style of play.
I hear what you're saying, and that's what I was saying. This season, he showed me if he had to go in the paint against LeBronto, he dominated them in the paint. If he had games where he trusted the jumper, because that's what the defense gave him. He trusted the jumper. He beat the. He had his best year shooting three. I mean, he said, you know what, Russell Westbrook getting triple doubles. I can get triple doubles. He averaged triple double for a month. I mean, the dude did. Like, what more do you need to see before the blindfolds come off? And you a witness, baby.
I
can't believe it.
This is crazy. This is crazy. Here's my thing. The key difference, though. Here's the key difference with him moving out west, though. And we can't ignore this. The pace of the game is different. In the east, he was able to control the pace more. He's not going to be able to control the pace more because he can't be logging in these heavy minutes, especially playing out west where it's more tempo, the scores are higher.
Exactly.
So this year right now, we're going to really see. Like I said, he has to be Miami LeBron. He has to play off the ball. He has to be ISO.
You know, in the four finals against the Warriors, you know what LeBron's average is?
In the four series
against the team of the decade, the Destiny, right? The Dynasty squad. Dude's averaging triple double in these four.
I know that, but my thing about it is, Are you going to be able to be there when they need you most? Because the young pups is going to be looking for your guidance. And like I said, you've put yourself right back into the fire. This is a lot of people talk about the twilight, and you know, this is where he's going to finish his career. Well, you finish your career playing in the one place that only defines championships. And you're worried about chasing the ghost of Michael Jordan. Well, right now you're entering Mamba Land, and everything that you do is going to be defined against the Mamba. So
hold up,
you got to come through, B. You got to come through.
Okay, Mamba. I hear a lot of Mamba talk, but just remember who is the president of the organization right now. And
no,
that's a big shoes to fill as well. I know that's more of his contemporary. Kobe and LeBron are more contemporaries. I understand that. But I just needed to inject Magic's name into this conversation.
Only reason why I'm not saying Magic Johnson is because for the simple fact of that this is for what the modern era right now is, you know, like they're not bashing LeBron because of Magic. They're bashing LeBron because the Kobe's, all these dudes who, because here's the thing about it, you know, everybody in LA who was tight that Kobe, how's LeBron skipping over Kobe, this and this. Now you in the Lakerland? Oh, you crazy? Them Kobe stands is out on full deck, straight.
And even if he win a chip, he's not Kobe in the laws of Lakers. You know what I'm saying? In Laker history, That's he can't compare with where Kobe is in Lakers history. But he won that chip. That 23 could go to the Raptors, though. But
You're closer in the fold of the family. You become closer in the fold of the family. You know what I'm saying?
So
that's really what it's about. And I didn't see necessarily any reference to Kobe in those in the vandalism, right? It was more about what LeBron didn't do, the 3-6 and, you know, all of that stuff.
No, but you should think about,
like,
no.
You can't disrespect the organization. There's so many names, dude. There's so many names that have played in L.A. So for you to come, or not for him, let me take that away, because the artist did it, right? But the artist said of L.A., and that's where it rubbed people wrong, right?
Exactly.
But
you can't
do organization. There's so many names that you could plug into there.
Oh, can I clarify 1.2 when I joined in? Y'all said there's two organizations. Come on now. Them black and white championships, that shady footage that you see with the Boston Celtics when it was 8 teams in the league. Look, in the modern era, the Lakers, in my lifetime as a Laker fan, right, I've seen them win 10 chips. Boston has won, what, 4? And the Lakers have been in, what, 14? Is that right, 14? No, 16 championships. 16 finals, 10 chips to, what, maybe 7? 4 out of 7 for Boston or something like that, right?
Right.
Maybe 6, 4 out of 6. So the Lakers is the Lakers have played in the most finals, like 30 finals. In the history of the league, man. 30 finals the Lakers have played in, man. It's one franchise. Boston had 17, but that era there, man, what we've seen with our eyes from 19, I call it the modern era, from the 80s on to today, you've seen the Lakers dominate the NBA, man.
From the late 70s.
What's up?
Really from the late 70s. From the late 70s, because, you know.
We won in 72. Boston got a couple championships.
When Magic was a rookie, it was like 79. Magic was a rookie, it was like 79.
The finals was the 80. That was the 80 finals and with the 76ers, Dr. J. We're going from that. That was his rookie year, 79-80, yes. The championship was 80. And that started the decade. They won 5 championships in that decade. They lost 4, right? Then we seen Shaq and Kobe dominate. Man, Boston was absent. After Bird, man, they was like on a 20-year drought.
Right.
And I hate that Paul Pizzi got that one over us. Talking about beating
LA. That's real. That's real.
But Kobe got him back, you know? So that's where I'm saying LeBron beat Kyrie in the finals. Boston L.A. Finals and beat Kyrie. Ooh. Oh, boy. He got a statue out that joint.
There you go.
Nah, B. Chill on that. Nah, he ain't getting no statue.
If he beat Boston,
he ain't getting no statue. Not one, B. Not one. Yo, you get that Laker jersey. You get that Laker jersey. No question. But my G... Nah, Mamba's the last one, B. Mamba's the last one until you get that.
He has to win two. He won two.
He gotta win two.
Back.
He gotta at least win two, B. He gotta win like
and
two.
And it's gotta be back to back.
Something, because he can't. It's like, you know, it's to have him like, yo, dudes talk about him like, yo, getting a statue and all this. You know, I'm hearing the talk shows like, oh, could he be the greatest Laker? And I'm just like, yo, dudes are extremely disrespectful, man. They're disrespectful. Like, yo.
Oh, they already? I saw that. That was disrespect.
Yeah,
oh,
that's too much. That's the microwave generation. You know what I mean? We're not going to get caught up into that
yeah,
nonsense.
Man.
But another topic, you know, as we transition from that great 03 class, right? We talking about LeBron. Another name that's come up in the news just recently is the man Carmelo Anthony. And I'm so glad that I had ISO on the line to be able to speak about Carmelo, and also having, truth be told, man, that warmed my soul just hearing what you were saying about LeBron and going through and looking back on our text messages during the finals and the playoffs, man. It just makes you feel so good, my brother. Welcome, welcome, brother. But yeah, ISO, I want to get your input on Melo. You know, this is something that, just before I pass the mic, this is something that I spoke about, just his need to be able to take a step back and be able to understand his role in the NBA now, and not going out like AI. You know, so where do you stand on that? You know, we had a big argument over the starting, his stance, whether he's going to start or come off the bench.
You're definitely right, you know, that Melo needs to take a lesser role. I must say this. The situation for him coming to OKC and how he came to OKC wasn't really ideal. Like, you know, he came in, I think, a couple of weeks before the start of the season. So, and Billy Donovan really is, I mean, come on, man. His coaching techniques, you know what I'm saying, are less to be desired. That's on this front. But on the other hand, Melo showed his age. You know, he wasn't able to adjust. It was a big adjustment for him, and I think he's definitely, you know, role player, third, maybe fourth slash option on a team. I believe it could go either way. I mean, I would like for him. For me personally, I wouldn't mind him going to the Lakers on a bench role, like coming off the bench. If he could come off the bench with the Lakers, that would be good for him to provide that microwave offense that he needs, that, you know, that the Lakers could have, and you could probably start Kuzma or somebody else. He could possibly go to the Rockets. And the Rockets are going to go hard for him because they lost Trevor Ariza, Luke Mute. So, you know, they're hurting. But at the same time, if you start – I don't know. I really don't know what to expect from him this year, in all honesty. Like, he had a terrible year last year. The numbers were the worst of his career. Is he going to change his game? I mean, the Rockets system, you know, hoisting up threes and a lot of jump shots. I don't know. You know, maybe Melo fits better with Houston for the simple fact that when they're not running pick and roll or something like that, maybe he can get his ISO game on, because, you know, that Harden's game is kind of a eyesore for me when the game gets tough. I can't watch you throw the game away just because you're just looking to draw fouls, right? You know, that's kind of eyesore for me, watching last year's playoff. So, and I heard Philadelphia's in the mix as well. So, I mean, if he's going to a team like the Lakers, it has to be off the bench. I don't want Melo starting for the Lakers.
Well, any team that's in championship contention, is that right?
But he's going to have to start for the Rockets. Who are you going to put at the small forward position?
Then I'm taking the Rockets out of the running for the championship. If Melo's
they're weak defensively, no question. That's what I said.
Yo, they saying that's the front runner for him, man. They said they going all in. They lost both small forwards. So,
what about the D'Antoni reunion? What do you think about that? And that whole banana boat thing. I don't think these dudes really want to play with them. The more and more that play with each other, the more and more that I'm reading and doing research, is like they had opportunities to do it and have always turned away from it.
Melo took that first extension with Denver when they all kept their options open.
Right.
So he missed that window. Because instead of Bosch, it was supposed to be him instead of Bosch.
Right.
You know, Bosch was never a banana boat dude, you know? But Melo took that extension. Melo's always gone after his money. He won his money. Why he opted in knowing that OKC, come on, $300 million? That would have been with the tax hit. Come on, man. They're like, what you doing, son? You don't fit with us. You're unwilling to go. But Melo, like, man, I'm not giving up my bread. So it's one of them situations where Melo, if Melo's not careful, he could be out the league next, like one more year.
Mm-hmm.
If it don't go well this year coming, he's done.
Yep.
It's just like it happened to Allen Iverson.
But here's the thing. Even though Houston is going to go hard for him, I think if he has his choice, he's going to go to L.A. And the reason why, and, you know, so many times we look at basketball just for what it is, but always forgetting how off the court can affect on the court. And with him going through his, you know what I'm saying, his separation from his wife, you know what I'm saying, the secret baby and stuff like that, and him trying to mend his relationship, his wife was not, no way, shape, or form, trying to chill in Oklahoma. Now he has a house in LA.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what I'm saying?
Okay.
I think
so. I didn't mean to cut you off, but he could go to the Clippers because you just said it. The Lakers is about that name in front. And that's why when Shaq left, as much as I love Shaq Diesel, he was on my shit list when he left and shitted on us and went to Miami talking smack. You know, that's when I really doubled down on Kobe because Kobe, he rocked with us. He was like, nah, if Shaq go, I'm going to resign. And he rode out some rough years when we didn't give him the support, and he eventually went to 3 straight finals. That's why he the Black Mamba. But it's about the front, and Melo passed on us. Remember when they brought Kobe, met him, and they had to sit down, and we rolled out the red carpet for Melo, and he signed for that money with Phil Jackson in New York. We don't forget that. Like, Dwight Howard was actually fixed his mouth to say he wanted to come back to L.A.? Come on, man. Come on, man. Come on, Dwight. You knew better than that. That ship sailed, right? So we back. That's why I got to rock with Bron, because you know what? The Lakers is we back. And that ship sailed with Melo. We can't bring Melo. We got Ingram and Kuzma at the three. We ain't even have room for Randall. We going to bring in Melo? No. Melo ain't coming to L.A.
But here's a play. Here's an outside play, though, that you got to think about, right? If they bring in Melo, then don't be surprised that they probably trade Brandon Ingram for Kawhi.
We trying to trade Ingram for Kawhi.
But that's what I'm saying. If you can, because Melo's not costing no money for y'all. Melo's coming in for like a league minimum because he's already getting paid for OKC. So he's not, it's not like he's coming in and he's getting like five or whatever. He's getting the bare minimum. So to have him on the bench while you have Kawhi, and you know, if Ingram, Hart, and maybe a first rounder gets you Kawhi, then having Melo on the bench now, knowing that you have Kawhi starting with LeBron, makes y'all potent, man.
Okay, I don't want – Melo is not part of our championship run, especially when we have the greatest player on the planet right now. He's not a part of it. First of all, the attitude and it, just the vibe, man. I'm over Melo. Been way over Melo, and it's showing, you know, on the court now that he's not producing the way that he had been. So no, Melo to the Lakers, non-cipher. Send him to Houston. Let him muck up over there. I'm ready to move on. Let's stick with the young boys and allow them to run.
You're not staying with the young boys. Ingram is out of here.
Oh,
Ingram is out of here.
We'll see what happens with Kawhi. we'll see what happens with Kawhi. It's being said that he's really, of course, wants to come to L.A. He's trying everything now. He's putting rumors out. His camp talking all kind of rumors about different interests from other organizations. But at the end of the day, he wants to land in L.A. And if we're patient, as we were with Paul George, and this is something that ISO, you and Truth had argued about eons ago, months ago. Right? But No. I'd rather pass on him because he does not want to be here. He's not part of the equation. We don't want that. The same way, you know, in this situation. Right.
I don't think that Paul George didn't want to be here. I felt like the Lakers were too fixated on Kawhi.
Paul George, I don't think he wanted to be Bosh in this situation. If he was going to be here. Because if he's here, he's going to fall in line in the hierarchy that's going to be established. He was going to be the third wheel.
Bomb. That's it in a nutshell right there.
Yeah. He was going to be the third wheel. He didn't want to be that. And that's understandable. And that's fine. You know why? Stay in OKC. You can fish. You can do everything that you like to do. But you're not going to be able to pour that champagne, as we discussed with L.A., because that's in the near future, man.
I hope so too.
So being patient, it worked out, especially too. We know next year is coming and Kawhi will actually be free to be able to move on. I don't know, you know, what the Spurs are going to do between that time, but the clock is ticking. And right now, I think if LA just sits tight and stays with the young talent that we have, you know, by trade deadline, they might be singing a different tune.
I don't know, man. I think if Kawhi goes to Philly, he could stay. He might stay.
So let him stay.
Right.
Look,
thank you. That was my,
let
thank
him
you.
Stay. Right.
Thank you. That's my
MVP?
Point. Thank you.
All right.
If Kawhi stays, you don't want to be a part of it.
If Kawhi stays, Klay Thompson's not leaving because Durant's leaving.
So then Durant comes to L.A. I mean,
thank you.
LeBron's not going to get the next dude?
Here's the thing. Durant doesn't want to be in LeBron's shadow. He believes he's better than LeBron.
So let me give you the scenario, brother. He wins one more ring and another finals MVP. That's the three-peat. He opts out. He signs to L.A. And now, again, like I told you, you weaken Golden State. So now you're the powerhouse in the West. You go to the finals. You beat Boston in the finals. And he's the finals MVP for the fourth year in a row. How the hell is he in LeBron's shadow?
But let me ask you a question. It's very likely that if he wants to better his image – right, because like you said, he doesn't want to also have the look of ring chasing. If he could very much well go back to OKC with Russell and Paul George already intact.
Can you respond to the scenario I told you? You ain't got no response for that. Huh?
No, but what I'm saying,
LA plays with LeBron, he's not, and he's the Finals MVP.
No,
like
he's not
because
he's still looking like a ring chaser.
No, well, he's already our ring chaser.
Right, but if he goes back to OKC, and follows the same blueprint that LeBron did, let me go back home because now OKC got stars in place. Guess what? He looks like the golden boy. Oh, Kevin Durant goes back home.
If LeBron loses in the second round or the first round this year and he wins the chip this year again, wins the three finals MVPs, and then he joins the Lakers, who now is on a six-year run, right, of no playoffs and no championships, and then he brings the chip to L.A. He plays with LeBron, but he's the finals MVP. How the hell is he in LeBron's shadow is my question. That's the scenario that very well could happen because they already talked this summer. Don't forget that conversation was had this summer.
Right.
So it's
and
not
guess
so
what he saw?
Fetch, brother.
He talked to him, and he was like, nah, I don't want to go there because I want to beat you. I think
yeah, –
who you think – who you think leaked it out?
Let me jump in. There's a good chance that he does go to LA, there is a chance. But in my scenario that I see him doing exactly what Steph did, getting that other fourth chip, being able to repeat, get a finals MVP, and then going back home, going to the East in Washington and finishing out his career in Washington. That's personally what I see for K. I don't see him coming, but there's a greater chance that Klay might come. Somebody is going to get plucked. Somebody is leaving out of that Golden State team. Somebody wants
Draymond
to get that big chip. And Dre is also there. Right, so there's a lot of options.
Next year, there's a ton of options.
Right.
Kyrie could end up in L.A.
Anthony Davis. Real isn't fun. Anthony Davis on the board as well? We can see what Boogie does. I mean, yeah, there are a lot of people that are going to be freed up next year.
Yeah,
and
there's no question. But I think either Washington or OKC is in the play, because now he can go back. He could go back and play with Russ, knowing that there's Paul George there, and they can win it right then again. He could go back right there and they can win it, because he'd be the lead dog.
I don't think Russ welcoming him back. Russ ain't that dude. Russ is a throwback. Russ ain't that dude.
If you talk to OKC, he'll go back, man. Because
Russ will come run with us.
Now Russ is under contract.
Yes, perfect. Thank you very much, Troopy Toll. That was very well stated.
Russ is under contract, man.
Russell said, "No, man. Me, I go to LeBron, man. You want to sign back?"
But yo,
KD,
yo, switching topics.
Yeah.
Yo. I'm really not feeling that Phoenix coach.
Let's get into some summer league talk.
I'm not feeling the summer league coach. I mean the head coach of Phoenix. And I firmly believe that he was hired to coach Luka Doncic. But the stress the pressure that Phoenix has received forced them to get DeAndre Ayton. And he, even though, you know what I'm saying, he could be a talent, the way that they're using him, I mean, he had 21 points the last game, but more than eight of those points were at the end of the game, dudes throwing him like, you know, senseless lobs where nobody's really playing defense. That coach is using him like an international center, and he's not an international center. In actuality, he's a throwback. He's a throw me the ball down and let me go to work type center. And I can't really see him getting the ball like that. For real, they struggle to get him the ball, man. And I'm not liking Phoenix, but I'm loving some Kevin Knox.
No doubt.
Man, shit, we got the steal. I think we got the steal of the draft, B. For real.
Once again, this always happens during this time. We get overexcited with what we see during summer league, right? Sometimes it can be proven and it actually translate into the actual league. Donovan Mitchell is a perfect example from last year. But
Kuzma,
give it
too.
Some time. I love Kuzma, exactly. Thank you. I should not have left Kuzma out. But I agree with you on some points about, you know, Mitchell being – I mean, Ayton being able to get the Brock. But they're going to work it in. It's going to be totally different throughout the season, what they're going to be playing and what they're going to be running. And the talent he's going to have surrounding them.
Yeah, but he looks slow, B.
One thing I want to give to you, though, ISO, you did mention it last year, the fact that there was going to be a return and resurgence of the big man. And you have mentioned that. Can you speak on that a little bit about some of the big men that you've seen out there during Summer League or that you've been impressed with that have come into the league?
Marvin Bagley. I really like Marvin Bagley III because even though he's raw, he's extremely energetic. Extremely energetic. I like what I've seen from Bagley. If the Celtics got themselves a little steal too. The Williams kid, he, you know what I'm saying, he's talented, he can pass the ball, he's athletic and block shots. It's man, son. I mean, again, you know, I'm not trying to step on Doc's toes, but that second round draft pick, it looked like we got a future DeAndre Jordan in the making, mm-hmm. with Mitchell Robinson, the second round pick from the Knicks. I mean, his defense, the way he can cover defensively is amazing. Like, he covers like a guard. He protects a pick and roll from the 3-point line, then is able to run down to the block to catch blocks, which is really good. I mean, I really like the fact of the game has, you know, started to come back, and get some good quality big men, man. You know, you have Mo Bamba. Mo Bamba's looking like he's raw right now, but he kind of reminds me of KG. When KG mm-hmm. first came into the league, he has that raw ability. And how can we forget Jaren Jackson? This kid is shooting threes. He's like he has the potential to be Kevin Durant, really, because this dude is basically 6'11" already. You know, when they was faking that Kevin Durant wasn't 6'11", this dude's 6'11". He's shooting threes. Can put it on the floor. I mean, he's still raw with it, but I mean, man, like the first top five, I think it was the top four picks besides Luka Doncic was big men. Man, is big men are back, definitely.
Yeah,
big men are
100%.
Back,
man. Bamba.
Yeah.
The Titans is playing right now. I just see the nice little fadeaway, a little dream shake.
Yeah.
Aiden and Bamba going at it right now.
Yo,
one person whose stock kind of went down was Trae Young, man. You guys were high. I mean, at least ISO, I remember you were high on Trae Young. You wanted the Knicks to pick him up. I never really was sold on. He was really small. You know, he could shoot and create, but his body, and he seems still small now to even be in summer league. But that's one person whose stock was down. But Kevin Knox, man, his stocks were way high. Go ahead.
He could have played one more year like Steph did, you know? He rushed it.
Yeah.
Trae Young.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
Steph, because you're that small, you want to come in the league a grown man. You're already frail. And,
right.
Yeah. He, you know, he's shooting. He's pulling up in summer league like he's Steph Curry for real, man.
Mm-hmm.
Like, chill. At least he played. And he did get 11 assists in his last game. He finally showing that he could play make. I mean, you got to get into this thing slow, man. He keep coming in thinking he's Steph Curry.
Yeah, I think you're right. You know, he should have waited another year to get, because what you see, what happened the second year of college is exactly what's happening in the NBA. They honing on you. You know, you're not surprising anybody. And that's the difference. Like, they're going to be after you. I mean, Nilakina made it.
And you learn how to play through it, right?
Exactly. Exactly. Exactly.
You keep moving. You understand your conditioning because you have to stay. That's how you combat all that grabbing and holding. You have to keep moving. Like Rip Hamilton, right? Steph Curry. Them dudes move without the ball, and man, he's just too frail. I think he's going to be a bust straight up and down.
I don't think he's going to be a bust, but I think people are going to be on him hard because I think Luka Doncic is going to be way better, and they're going to be like, you basically traded away this dude. You know what I'm saying? Because Luka Doncic, he's 6'8".
And he's
a
professional. He's already
exactly.
been playing professional.
Luka Doncic is a professional. He could have easily went. He could have easily went first.
He should have went
first place, right? But if we're looking at Trae Young, he's like a Jimmy Fredette to me. He's just another small dude that can shoot. Yes, but what else does he do? Is he tenacious on defense? Is he, you know, he's a building his playmaking the skills now, and we'll see how that transfers, especially when he plays against the big boys. But you know that Atlanta needed a point guard, so he's going to get major minutes. I don't know if they're going to put the franchise on his back, but he's going to get minutes. And, you know, you have to be ready for that, man. We've seen it happen already where these small guys, and I'm rooting for the small guys, but you got to be able to do something else, especially in this NBA, playing a point guard especially.
Exactly.
So I'm watching. Are you guys watching this game, by the way? I'm in the studio, but, you know, I got the screen up.
Right.
And the big man ain't touching it in the post, man. You got the two big men, premier big men from the draft. And even Mo Bamba turnaround was an 18-foot baseline turnaround. Like, I'm not seeing nothing in the post. These guys are shooting jumpers.
Let me tell you something. What's very disheartening in watching Summer League, which I got extremely frustrated at, is that, first of all, they're not even – the post passing is disgusting. Like, it's totally disgusting. They don't have the correct angles. Two, the actions to the post up, if you have a post up player, if you can't get the simple, all right, he's posting up, give him the ball action. These dudes are trying to run three or four different actions. Like, all right, set a post up here, run to the other side, then come across the screen and try to get the rock. Like, it's so much going on right now that it's like disgusting. Like, how can a player without being physically strong get the basketball? Like, if you can't hold your man down, then there's no other way for you to get the basketball, because these coaches have no idea and the players have no idea of post entry passes. It's disgusting, man. It's disgusting. And it just goes back to the way the game is being played right now. Everybody's taught to be a European center.
And
the sad part is that they tell you that you need to work on your pick and roll and you need to work on your 3-point shot. But when you look at Kevin Durant, what happened? He destroyed. The true reason why Golden State destroyed Cleveland is because they had no answer for the mid-range. They had no answer for the mid-range. That's it. Hand in your face, don't matter. Yeah, Kevin Durant hit some threes, but guess what? I'm able to go in the post and do what I need to do from 15 to 12 feet. The more the game has changed, the more it's the same. Get the post work and get the mid-range, man.
So, we got to give you props, right? In the preseason show, you talked about how injury was going to be a factor, how they were going to be lackadaisical, they're going to be drunk off two championships in 3 years, and Draymond making a statement like everybody already know the outcome, right? So all of that happened last year. All of that happened. And they survived Steph missing a whole round, and they still won the chip. And now you add Boogie Cousins. So where you at with the super team? Because very easily they could have won four in a row. If LeBron didn't, you know, have that incident where he put his jewels on Draymond's neck and that suspension, I believe it would have been 4-0.
Right.
And they would have won four in a row. But maybe Durant don't – the crazy thing about that is then maybe Durant not there if they won that championship that year.
Right.
But maybe he would have still went. But how you feel about the super team, man?
It's amazing you said that because, you know, just earlier today you blessed me with a great article about Dr. J and saying that how, you know what I'm saying, he's basically appalled with these super teams. And – I think what – you know who really created the super teams? It's not LeBron. who really created super teams is the NBA, because they took away what made stars stars, really, really and truly. Like, to me, the number one solution that we need to do to dissolve super teams is start bringing the game back to man to man. So all these dudes that are on the floor who can't really play defense get exposed. Where one man, when we used to see AI, and if AI was playing in this era, they lose to the Milwaukee Bucks. They lose to the Milwaukee Bucks. The Milwaukee Bucks with Ray Allen, Glenn Robinson, and Cassell, they don't win that game because.
Okay, can I disagree with you on that? Because we never seen this, man. You have right now, with the signing of Boogie Cousins, okay? Let's take Boogie out of it. Let's just take Boogie out of it. You have four of the top 20 players in the league. And the last 2 years, remember, all four of them were All-NBA. This year, Draymond and Klay fell out of All-NBA, but they still top 20.
Right.
We never, and two MVPs in their primes. We've never seen under 30 years old. I mean, it's just insane what this team, and they drafted most of this. You got to give Golden State credit for that.
Right.
Outside of KD coming, they really put this thing together. Now think of OKC. They drafted three straight MVPs. Right. Drafted them. Of years. Their mistake was they didn't do what Golden State did. They didn't keep them together. And that fell apart when they let Harden go. Because if Harden stays, maybe they win the chip, and then there's no way KD goes if they're winning.
Right.
So or once they taste that champagne. So I don't think the zone came in to stop Shaq and Kobe. That's when the NBA went to the zone.
But also AI, man. Also AI.
Huh? What?
AI doesn't get to the finals. AI doesn't get to the finals or even get a Laker victory if it's not man to man.
Man, would you stop with the Laker victory? You said that in text. They won one game. It was 4-4.
That's what I said. A Laker victory. Lakers sweeps. My point is that you see that even if you have a great team, because AI beat great teams along the way to get to the finals, right?
Hold on.
Listen to what I'm saying. This is my point. The point of the matter is that when you have a great star, right? When you have a great star and you're playing man to man, that star is so magnified when you're playing man to man because the double teams have to be honest. There's no floating. There's no floating in the middle. There's no floating in the middle.
So either you're double teaming me
or I'm dropping 40. And that's what happened.
So what happened in games 2, 3, 4, and 5 when Kobe Bryant checked Allen Iverson? What happened?
That's what happens. But what I'm saying is that instead of the outcome, instead of what are you seeing right now, what you're seeing as far as all this total dominance and dudes are able to float and double team and everything, if LeBron gets an honest double team, the game is different. If you're playing man-to-man, right, because LeBron is one of the best players in the game, and if nobody can hold him man-to-man, one-on-one, that means either you're clearly double-teaming me or you're staying with your man, then guess what? The series is different.
Let me interrupt you, fellas. I want to spin this off into another direction. I just recently ran into an article that spoke about actually Dr. J's 77-76 team actually being the super team. I'm going to run off some of those names. But before I get into that, we have a call on the line that could probably provide some therapy for you guys because it sounds like you're at each other's necks. We got Dr. Big Al on the line, man. Please share your thoughts on this topic.
What up, Doc?
What's up, fellas? Yo, I got to disagree with ISO, man. Tell me, fellas, if I'm confused or not. But what Iso's talking about as far as zone, it seems like he's talking about illegal defense that's been around since the, you know, even the 90s, maybe the late 80s, that the NBA's been calling. I haven't seen zone been played since maybe the Dallas-Miami series on finals. I don't see zone as much as Iso is talking about.
Doc.
How can you zone up Golden State, Doc? That's my point.
No, when I mean zone, dudes are able to play both the passing lanes now. You can play. You don't see the way. Hold on. You don't see the way that Golden State was playing defense when they was playing illegal defense on LeBron with JaVale McGee shadowing in the paint.
Yeah, but that's
what I'm talking about. This is man. You know what man to man? Man to man. That means either you're with your man or you're double teaming. Clearly, there's no in between.
That's been around since the 90s
no.
at least. Yeah,
no.
Really.
No. No.
You have a certain amount of time to stay or go back to your man. That's
no.
not zone defense.
You can't float, man. Dudes are floating right now.
Or 3-2 zone or
no.
boxing. Those are zones.
Dudes are playing man zone. Dudes are able to play the passing lanes. You wasn't able to play the passing lanes back when Jordan was playing and when AI's last championship, that was probably like the last time because they started playing that man zone when Lakers faced Detroit Pistons. But you was either stay with your man or clear double team. There was no floating in the middle. And that's a big difference.
No, you still have the opportunity to either go or go back to your man. But once you cross that threshold of, I think, I don't know how much seconds it is, they call that call. But I want to go back a little bit to what y'all was talking about, you know, the super teams and all of that.
Al, before you do that, I want to hear you clearly, man. I don't know if you're on speakerphone, but I hear echo. Or try to come closer to the mic. Turn the speakerphone off.
Is that better?
Yeah.
Much better. Appreciate you.
Yeah, man. My solution that I've been saying to you guys is it got to come from the players. I mentioned earlier that he's not going to change anything as far as the rules because it favors the two guys that's the head of the Players Association and LeBron and CP3. And, you know, changing it will kind of go against what they're trying to do as far as winning championships with the teams that they have. Maybe not LeBron now since he's been on the Lakers, but how he's been doing things. But I think the key to it all, and I think it might happen this upcoming season, is KD. And I think we all, you know, maybe not all of us, but a few of us believe that he'll leave, especially if they win another chip this year, along with the finals MVP. And I think him alone, even if Golden State holds on to Boogie, even if he leaves, I think it'll change the balance for everybody. I think with that, say he goes back to he goes to Washington. That was, you know, maybe his first destination that people thought of when he first was leaving OKC. I think that puts probably like six teams in contention as far as winning the chip. You know, and I kind of see it happening, man, and I hope the players realize what's going on and how much the league is hurting and how much the fans and the media don't like what's going on. And like you mentioned, Dr. J being appalled with this, I think we all heard this when it happened when LeBron first left Cleveland about, you know, the greats not liking, you know, these players teaming up and all of them saying that they would have never did it in their time. And I hope they all realize that, you know, things got to change.
Just in speaking on that right quick, Doc, I teased it before you got on, but Doc 76-77 team, it was Dr. J, he was 26. They had Daryl Dawkins, who was 20. World Be Free, who was 23. Doug Collins, 25. Henry Bibby, 27. Mike Dunleavy Jr., 22. Kobe's Pops, 22. Henry Bibby, I said 27. Caldwell Jones also was on that team. George McGinnis was on that team. So there wasn't big name players. But if you look, that's like almost 8-9 players stacked as a strong unit, all in their youth, all in their late, their early 20s, you know? So for Doc to be able to come out to say that, you know, I hear what he's saying. He sitting back, you always have a different nostalgia or reminiscing or different kind of memory. But that team right there was stacked as well, man. That's the NBA, though. I think that's something that ISO brought up. That's the NBA. That's what they do. Go ahead.
But how was it put together? I think that's the main point.
I think that's the difference. Yeah, I think that's the key difference is that dudes are not willing to accept the challenge. Dudes are not willing to accept the challenge. But like I said, if you go back and you look at where things changed, it's just like, yo, you start bringing in specialists, like, you know, you have teams that were able to make the playoffs with just one star. You had Tracy McGrady being able to make the playoffs with just the Magic. You had Charles Barkley with just a secondary star being able to make it all the way to the finals, because the way the game is being played doesn't allow a star to be a star as it used to be. Now everything has to be worked in within a system. Whereas back when we were watching the early games, it's just like, yo, Michael could dominate the game. Magic can dominate and say, I can have 38 and 40, and it just doesn't have to be within the system. I can just take over this game. Do you remember the Vince Carter and the Iverson series? It's like dudes personally locked off the game, and that's the problem. It's they took away the star to allow specialists and this and that and to come on, because there's no way. Real talk, there's no way Detroit Pistons beat Kobe and Shaq with Gary Payton and everybody if they're just playing straight up man to man. They're not winning that series. They did that series. So you're right. It's also for Kobe and Shaq, but it also diluted what a star is. A star can carry you farther by himself on regular man to man defense than this zone man crap. It's disgusting to me. And
okay, can I answer that Portland question, though? That Portland point that the MVB asked? So you named a good team. That's a good, solid team with some solid players. But how many Hall of Famers did you name? Dr. J. I think McGinnis might be a Hall of Famer.
Right. Al Dawkins.
But
I think Bibby's a Hall of Famer.
Bibby?
Who?
Bibby. No, not Bibby. I was thinking about somebody else.
And Chocolate Thunder ain't a Hall of Famer neither. What y'all talking about?
I understand your point.
Yeah, because that's my point. What's appalling to Dr. J is you have Steph Curry, KD, two MVPs under the age of 30 in their prime playing on the same team, and, you know, and you also have two other, because let's face it, they're going to be Hall of Famers too. They keep winning these rings. Klay and Draymond, all NBA,
right.
they all-star, they're going to be Hall of Famers too.
Yeah,
so,
they're Hall of Famers.
That's what's appalling to Dr. J is that, you know, KD should be on a different squad than Steph Curry. He wants
right.
to see that level of competition. You know, this teaming up, he's hearing Kawhi Leonard and is coming to L.A. to play with LeBron, and that's what the great that you know they had good teams. Yeah, he won when Moses came, but Moses was already a champion, you know, and Moses really came to bring him over. He wasn't in his prime. Dr. J was out of his prime when he won in '84. Man, that wasn't the high flying big Afro Dr. J that Moses took to the promised land.
And
he faced
the stacked Laker team at that. It wasn't like he faced
right.
a cupcake team.
Well, he in '77. That '77 team Kobler's talking about. They lost to Bill Walton and Portland Trailblazers.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So
he didn't even make it.
And he lost to Magic a couple times in '80 and again in '82.
So he had his chances in his prime. He just wasn't – he couldn't get over the hump. He couldn't get over the hump. Moses got him over the hump, but he was past his prime. Moses was that finals MVP.
Right.
You know, so that's what – that's so that's what – it's a difference. Even with Boston, because they really started the whole ball era, but they were a little past their prime or the back ends of their prime when they all played together, when KG got – got you know, KG was on the back end of his prime. He gave it all on defense, right? He gave it mostly on defense in Boston. He wasn't the offensive force he was in Minnesota.
Right.
So he gave it up on the offensive end, but he still was a big presence. You know, then LeBron and them took it to a whole nother level, and Golden State just trumped Bronny.
It's ridiculous. At this point, I feel you. And I'm going to ride with Doc, you know, on that point as well, just in terms of how, the separating the league and you know, and it not necessarily being so top-heavy. You know, we discussed that a little bit earlier. But, fellas, we only have about 9 minutes left, so, you know, it was definitely good getting together, man. But before we get off and sign off and link up next week, we want to do some quick hitters, man. I don't know if you guys have been checking out some things. So I'm going to just throw out a few things. You just give me a quick little feedback, you know, a little quick minute or so. The Clippers re-signed Avery Bradley. Does that matter or it doesn't even matter?
They'll be great defensively.
Next.
I mean, you really got to see they're so diluted with their squad. I really don't know what to expect.
To me, they have way too many guards. They drafted two guards. They had what's Patrick Beverley coming back. They have the European, what's it, Teledosis coming back. They have way too many guards, man.
No comment. All I can say is order is restored in L.A.
Did you hear that Steph and DeMar DeRozan, the only two players that stay in the league that are still on a team from the 09 draft? That's part of what we were just talking about, just in terms of that movement and all of these all-stars being able to move around and go to different teams.
I mean,
it
is what it is, you know? Like, you know, I don't knock that the players have their power, but it's just a little disappointing that they're not striving to be the best. So, I mean, maybe it is for the best that a lot of cats are not wanting to play with LeBron. You know, maybe it could be a sign of the times of cats trying to make a name for themselves. Who knows?
You gotta hold these owner, bad ownership groups, hold them accountable too. Right, there's some teams out there that no matter what, man, they're just dysfunctional, and so you can't blame stars for not wanting to go play there.
No question.
That's true. That's true to a degree, but well, the players have to have some type of role in it too. I mean, I understand, you know, players may not like a certain city, so that's understandable on another degree, but they have to be the things we talk about as far as being wanting to be competitive and, you know, lead a franchise, your own franchise, to winning. And you gotta put it on the players to a certain degree also.
One thing I want to say, though, is I think Indiana and Milwaukee are going to be way better than people are talking about. Way better than the people are talking about. That Tyreke Evans signing, woo, that was a sweet pickup.
Kylo Quinn is another one.
Yeah.
That was pretty big.
And then also Brook Lopez going to the Milwaukee Bucks. You know, East Coast, they got a couple of big men. And, you know, with the Greek freak having a big man now. Now, if you face, I mean, don't get me wrong, no way is Brook Lopez in the class of Joel Embiid, but he's serviceable. And when you have a serviceable big man who can hit the three and can give you some post moves, you never know, man.
That's all he's doing is hitting the three.
Rebounds.
That's all he's doing. He's in the corner. Hey, so I talked about that last year.
He's in the corner. He got to get a few more boards.
Don't forget his 3 rebounds.
That's not his game anymore.
Now I say, don't forget the last Collison brother on Indiana, Aaron Collison. He's showing up in preseason too.
Yeah, he's nice. He's nice. Truth, what you think about Dwight Howard in D.C.?
There you go.
It's a good look. It's a good look for the Wiz, you know? It's a good look for the Wiz. He's going to catch some lobs with Don Wall. You said why? Well,
yes.
I mean, it's an upgrade from – I mean, he had a good season last year for Charlotte. I was actually surprised at how well he played in Charlotte last year. So if he can bring that to the Wiz, I mean, you know, it's the East. The East is wide open, man. LeBron has left that door open. So why not the Wiz?
Mm-hmm.
Do they vault up to number 2?
Who, Wiz?
I mean, number 3, at least number 3?
Toronto's still there.
Toronto's still there? I don't know, man. I don't know.
You say
Milwaukee, maybe, but not. I don't know about Toronto. Man.
Yo, you can't fault Toronto for running into LeBron. LeBron is their kryptonite, but they won 60-something games last year, and one of the few East teams that had a winning record against the West.
Man,
That's good and all of that, but when the lights are bright, what happens? And
against LeBron.
It is against LeBron, but now to me, honestly, against everybody else. I don't trust you necessarily against everybody else. It looks great in the regular season, and yes, you might get those numbers, and that's why they might even be in that running to be so high in the standings. But when it comes down to it, it's not just the LeBron. I think they crack in the playoffs. When it's pressure time, they don't show up. And it doesn't
help going against LeBron.
But, yo, it either makes diamonds or it's going to crumble you. And they've crumbled too many times for me to be able to put them up there like that.
I'm with you, Coles, man. I like DeRozan as a player, but he's no number one, man.
Right.
He's no number one.
They need to blow it up, man. They need to blow it up.
They said they would this offseason, and they didn't so far.
To me, I think it's even a disrespect that if you're going to fire Dwayne Casey, then why hire his damn assistant? Like,
it makes no sense.
Yeah, that's
clear
stupid.
House, right, and change everything up. You know what else doesn't make sense? I'm reading right now that the Toronto Raptors are generating a buzz as potential destination for Kawhi. Now, I don't know if that's true and how that's going to roll. I've never, you know, that's something brand new right now. But they're talking about Masai Ujiri possibly moving DeRozan or Lowry in that trade.
For a rental?
Then it makes no sense for them.
For a rental, go ahead. He damn sure ain't going to stay in Toronto.
Right.
Let me tell you, the number one problem with Toronto is the traveling, my G. The money rate.
Yeah.
The money
passport.
Rate. Yeah, dudes can't rock with that stuff after a while, B. For real. It makes it too hard and too difficult, man. Straight.
Yeah, I don't think nobody want to live there either, man.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. They said that they said as far as a town that, you know, it's nice.
No, it's a beautiful city.
Kind of gets popping.
It's international.
Yeah, it's
that's
too
all.
Much, man. Too much.
But, fellas.
Yeah, what you think about the Jimmy Butler, man?
Before you do that, man, we only got like 45 seconds, man, so we got to kind of wind it down. I appreciate getting everybody back on the line. Didn't shout the number out. If the listeners are out there, man, it's a little bit too late now, but check for us next week and also check for Doc on Knicks Therapy at 563-999-3716. That's Knicks Therapy. That's going to be on Thursday at 9 p.m. and the eye test on Mondays at 9 p.m. Last few shout outs to fellas. There's 20 seconds left, man.
Go, Nick.
Kevin Knox.
LeBron.
LeBron will win one chip in LA.
There we go, Steph. Yo, I appreciate everybody, man, tuning in. Peace.
Peace.